Last week on Your World with Creflo.
Right now, what are your needs?
My main need was my children to have a bed to sleep in. To be honest with you, that's the only thing I always focused on.
Check this out.
Miss Betty, you've been working very hard for the past 10 or so months, and we've seen your effort, and we want to put a huge smile on your face. So this is what we've decided to do. We have 4 sets of these bunk beds, which includes 8 beds for each and every one of your children.
And guess who is coming out right now?
Oh.
Well,
okay,
welcome to 2 Chainz.
Right now on Your World.
I've been through poverty, Section 8, the whole 9. I'm sure we can all bounce stories and have stories. But, you know, I'm here now. I made it. I'm here on the other side. I can tell my story. I can celebrate. You know, I can smile. I don't have to really worry about bills. I'm blessed like that. But it's some people out here that really have to do that. I acknowledge that. I'm humbled by it, and I'm here to help.
So when I see a young person and their mind is stuck or they got all of these distractions around, I give them something else to consider. Your life does not have to be what you see around you every day.
True Foundation is something that's being used by God. God bless you. I know you're not doing it so, you know, somebody can come and congratulate you. And that's not what you're doing. You're doing it out of a heartfelt passion from what you have seen, what you've experienced, and what you've been through. And you're thankful saying, well, God bless me. At least now I can use this platform to have impact in somebody's life. And man, I'm telling you, I appreciate that so much. Welcome to Your World. I'm Creflo Dahl, and today's episode of Your World is going to be really special. Now, I know a lot of you have heard of the popular rapper 2 Chainz. He first found fame as a part of the duo Player Circle, but has since established himself as a solo artist with Def Jam Records. Now, I know some of you might be saying, but wait a minute. Pastor, what are a preacher and a rap artist doing hanging out together? Well, I'm going to tell you. You know, no matter how famous 2 Chainz is, there is a side to him that you might not know. You see, 3 years ago, 2 Chainz started doing exactly what Jesus would have done. You know, Jesus didn't spend all of his time in the synagogue. He was out among the people meeting their needs, no matter what they were. He said, love thy neighbor. So as 2 Chainz started experiencing great success in his career, he decided he needed to do just that and to give back. So he started a foundation committed to fighting the effects of poverty, dismal education, and domestic violence. That's awesome, isn't it? He calls it the True Foundation, and that stands for to reassure you. Thousands of people and their lives have been impacted since the inception of this foundation. So stay tuned, because today we're going to talk to 2 Chainz about the difference he's been able to make in the community because of his foundation. That's coming up next, right here, right now, on Your World. Welcome back. Now, I know you're probably wondering, once again, what in the world, Pastor Dahl, are you doing with a rapper? And what is your youth pastor doing here? I'm telling you, these guys are doing some amazing things. 2 Chainz with this foundation that's ministering to people all over the place. Anthony Adams, who's our youth pastor at World Changers, is really making a difference in the community and making a mark in the lives of people. I mean, it's absolutely doing something and changing their lives. So would you join me in welcoming our two guests today to Your World? Gentlemen, tell me about how True Foundation started. What was it in your heart that moved on you to say, look, I need to do something?
First, I have to acknowledge my lady, Keisha, who's not here right now. She's taking care of the kids, obviously. But her first cousin was a victim of domestic violence. She died because somebody that we knew that came to our house during Thanksgiving, Christmas, actually took it upon herself to take her life away. She had three beautiful kids. It was just the whole situation was so bad. It was a young lady. And this guy, I mean, it was just so bad. He stabbed her, I don't know, maybe 30 something times or something. It was just so sad. So, you know, it was three little girls left behind. He tied two of the girls up. He tied the 12-year-old up and the 4-year-old up. He left the 4-year-old in the tub. And she just, for I don't know, months after that, she just couldn't really get it together as far as, you know, urinating on herself, or, you know, that whole, just, you could tell she was scared way after this happened. And then the 12-year-old, he basically like sodomized her, you know what I'm saying? And really like took her to where somewhere she didn't need to be. And he took the 7-year-old with her. So it was just a lot of things. And so, you know, out of the kindness of our heart, we figured that we should start something to try to give back. So initially she wanted to try to target domestic situations, which I've been a part of it in my household, outside my household, not me actually doing it, but I've witnessed domestic violence or domestic abuse. And so with me being the person that I am, with me having the platform that I have, I felt like I could broaden it. I could help people that may have not been through that specific situation, but I could still offer my advice, my leadership skills, or, you know, something, some kind of resource to be put in place. So, you know, a couple of years ago, I started doing things, you know, for the youth out in, I went to North Clayton High School. So I would do something every year around Christmas where I have the basketball team. I would create, like, you know, kids from 10 through 13. I would have them do like a tournament, 2-on-2 tournament, where I ordered trophies that were supposed to be taller than them. But these kids, I don't know what they're eating. So it's like the trophy's like 6'5", fam. Right. And it's like, wow. It's like a 10-year-old who's taller than my trophies. Yeah. And so then, you know, I have a situation with Adidas shoes. So I had them give out like 200 pair of shoes. So what I did was I started using some of the resources I had from doing music and giving them to the neighborhood and to people who I felt like, you know, because I feel like a lot of people need it, but I tried to help those in dire need. And I also try to help those where kids are involved, because I know that that's the future, and I just wanted to trickle down to the youth. So although I know like kids can't make these certain decisions that they're put into, you got to help the parent or the person that's providing them with guardianship. But I want whatever I provide for the guardian that it trickles down to, they can always remember the story. They can always remember how it made them feel and things of that nature, because it never happened to me. I've been through poverty, Section 8, the whole nine. I'm sure we can all bounce stories and have stories. But, you know, I'm here now. I made it. Like, I'm here on the other side. I can tell my story. I can celebrate. You know, I can smile. I don't have to really worry about bills. I'm blessed like that. But it's some people out here that really have to do that. I acknowledge that. I'm humbled by it, and I'm here to help.
You know, you deal a lot, Anthony, with kids in the community.
Yes,
sir. I know you see a lot of pain. You have a lot of passion for, you know, what you went through personally.
Absolutely.
You know about going one direction, and all of a sudden that changes, and we're all seated here today trying to figure out, how did we get here? We know it was the hand of God, but it probably was not something we had in our mind when we were 6 or 7. But God is so good, because He positions you in a place where you can impact other lives in a greater way. What have you been able to see, and how has God used you to, like the True Foundation, to really minister to the hurts and the pain that you're seeing with especially young black men in College Park?
Well, when it comes to what I see,
my passion comes from a place where I can relate to their pain. I dropped out of high school in the 10th grade. I didn't get my GED until I was 28, 29 years old. When I see, you know, young people out here now, I have a passion to help them see it all the way through. So whatever they start, I want to see them finish it, and I want to see them finish it successfully without the distractions. Me, my distraction was the marijuana, the cocaine, and different things like that. But when I see these young people and I know what's on the other side of the decisions they're making, and I know what's on the other side of how they think, my approach is to change the way they think, and I can change the decisions that they make. If I could change the way they think, then it'll alter where they go. My mind was stuck on stupid. So when I see a young person and their mind is stuck, or they got all of these distractions around, I give them something else to consider. And that's my approach, whether it's through athletics, whether it's through training them how to run these cameras, whether it's through training them how to run lights, whether it's through singing or drama or whatever it may be. Your life does not have to be what you see around you every day, what you see from your parents, what you see from your people in your household, whether, you know, your mom is an alcoholic or you watch your father beat on your mom or whatever the case may be. I've seen it all, but it does not have to, those surroundings do not have to create, or you don't have to identify with what you're around.
And be defined by
you don't have
things.
To be defined. Thank you.
Yeah, your behavior things. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you will allow your bad behavior to try to define your identity.
Yes, sir.
But just because you behave bad doesn't mean that's you. Because when you find out your real identity and you begin to understand that, your identity can change your behavior.
Absolutely.
And, you know what you guys are, you know, I want to broadcast this all over the world, because what you're saying is I'm this is where I've come from, and I understand all that. But now that I'm in a place where I can impact some lives, I want to make sure I do it.
Take away the excuses.
Yeah. What's been the most inspiring project through the True Foundation that you can recall that really inspired you?
Recently, we helped an 11 family home, 9 kids, 2 sets of twins. Father wasn't able to work because he had random seizures.
Wow.
And actually, 2 of the kids had the same problem. So the mom couldn't really work either, because she had to see about them. So you have 9 kids. They were staying in, I think, a 2-bedroom house. They stayed with rats, mildew, and 2 raccoons.
Man.
We found a house for them, you know, a 5-bedroom house. We got them a house, had it furnished, you know, had another organization come and fill up their freezer with food and all of that. And so we sent 2 Ubers to get them from the house, 2 trucks, you know, 2 Uber trucks. They pulled up with all they had. It was on their back and maybe like a bedspread, you know, put all your clothes in the bedspread. And that's all they brought. When they opened the door, they like, 2 Chainz, you know, they like, watch out. They rapping, you know. Yeah, they doing all that. Right. They rapping. But you know, yeah, they dabbing. I'm like, so, you know, I'm like, man, I was tripping. I'm like, man, they happy. They
right.
happy.
Right.
And I don't think a lot of people need a handout as much as they need a hand up. And I think there's a difference between the guy who just always got his hands out versus the people who need a hand up.
That's right.
And I think your foundation, you know, just the other day on a program, that was a hand up, man. That was a hand up that it ministered to me so tremendously that, you know, after this family was going through what they went through, in some cases, if you can just give somebody a hand up, and then you meet them later on, and they've taken off, and things have really made the difference. Versus the guys, I mean, you know, there are always people who, if they can use their relationship with you to benefit them,
definitely,
then that's the only time they're going to be interested in anything.
Definitely.
And I'm telling you, True Foundation is something that's being used by God. God bless you. I know you're not doing it so, you know, somebody can come and congratulate you. And that's not what you're doing. You're doing it out of a heartfelt passion from what you have seen, what you've experienced, and what you've been through, and you're thankful saying, well, God bless me, at least now I can use this platform to have impact in somebody's life. And man, I'm telling you, I appreciate that so much.
Yeah, me too.
I appreciate that so
much. Me too. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
The mentality of the millennials right now. What is that mentality, and what do we need to do to kind of help change it?
It's desensitized. It's numb. It lacks morals, principles. It's like anything goes.
Wow. Now, I think today, and because I'm still actively out here. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I'm in the middle of the millennials and the OGs. I'm right in the middle of all of that.
Right.
And the biggest thing that I see on ground zero is that pride has actually, and this is something me and my friend talk about, it's almost became a sin, bro. I'm so serious, man. A lot of things that's going on right now, a lot of reasons why some of my friends are not living, a lot of reasons some my friends are in jail, is because of pride, bro. That's it.
I just finished last week talking about pride, and the root of pride is self-centeredness. I mean, what you just said is so prophetic, because the key, the master key to everybody's grief and bitterness is pride. And pride is self-centeredness all day long. And what we got to do, we got to learn how to get ourselves out of the center. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to learn how to exalt somebody greater than yourself.
Right.
To see, as long as, you know, when you get offended, when you get insulted, when somebody hurts your feelings, you're in the center. Now, if you don't want to experience that bitterness, that hurt, that insult, you're going to have to mentally say to yourself, I'm in the center. Let me get out of the center.
Gotcha.
I'm hurt. I'm offended. I'm angry. I'm bitter. All of that is because you're in the center. When I'm working with married couples, I say to them, the way my wife treats me is none of my business. My business is how I treat her. And by saying that and understanding that, what I'm really saying is I don't need to be in the center. If I'm not in the center, then what she's doing won't hurt me because I'm not in the center.
Gotcha.
And I think as we can begin to somehow change how people think, because what happens is I feel like, out of fear, I got to go to self-preservation. I got to take care of me because I'm afraid nobody else is going to take care of me. I got to take care of me because I'm hurt and I can't let you hurt me more.
Right.
And that's founded in pride. So what you said, it is the key to overcoming this stuff. All I'm trying to do as a minister of the gospel, and all I've ever tried to do, is change the way people think so it can line up with the Word of God. So your life can be better because your thinking has changed. And so I used to teach this, I called it an anatomy of life. If I were to dissect life, how would I dissect it? Number one, you know, what you expose yourself to will determine how you think. And the way you think will determine how you feel. And how you feel will determine the decisions you make. And those decisions will determine the actions you take. And those actions will determine the habits you create. Then those habits will determine your character. And then your character determines your destination. And I'm like, okay, well, I understand now how we arrived at that place, whether it was death or poverty or pain, how I arrived. Now, if I find out that I'm at that destination, how do I change it? If I don't like the destination, I change my character. If I don't like my character, I change my habits. If I don't like my habits, I change my actions. If I don't like my actions, I change my emotions. I change the decisions I make. And if I don't like my decisions, I change my emotions. If I don't like my emotions, I change the way I think. If I don't like the way I think, I change what I'm exposing myself to. I change what's going in my eyes and my ears. But to hear what you guys are saying, it's not only educational. It ignites a passion on the inside of me to say, dear God, help me. Show me what else I can do. Now, all of us together won't even be enough to change all of the problems. But you know what?
I just want to make impact where I can. Is that what you're saying this foundation is about?
Yeah, like, you know, a lot of people try to get me to help them, obviously, you know, all over the world. Like, I have an African doctor. He does missionary stuff in South Africa. He wants me to come over or give them money. A lot of places around the, you know, United States, period. But I'm like you, I'm kind of stuck locally with trying to help my community. And I mean, all of it is my community, but I'm talking about locally here. And it's not that I won't do nothing for somebody in New Orleans or California or New York. For me, it's just like I'm starting from my backyard. I'm starting from my backyard as far as giving back. It was cool for my fellow people from Atlanta or wherever you're from in Georgia to try to start there with. We're just trying to make us better. We have one of the lowest, you know, education systems it is, you know what I mean? We got people that went to jail for helping kids with the test for 20 years, and you got people.
Right.
You know how it goes. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just.
6 years for murder.
Yeah, 6 years for murder. You change the test, you get, you know, 20. So, you know, so I'm here. Like I said, I'm here. And like, I finished school. Like, I don't know what was on me to make me want to do, but I always enjoyed school. So I like to spread that to people because I know for a fact I look a certain way because I come from there. I know I look a certain way. And then I tell people this too. I tell people all the time, I say, you know, smart people can act dumb, but dumb people can't act smart. So I can be in different, I could be in a different room. I could be in a room full of dummies and almost blend in, huh? Be there. Oh man. Oh, for real, boy,
I say what, cuz?
Boy, what?
But you ain't talking about that.
I did.
You lied.
I did.
Ah, but you crying? Why you crying?
I did. You know, I can do that. I can do that too. But you know, at the same time, I can drink some tea and put my little pinky.
Come on now.
I have etiquette. I know how to. Use a knife.
Regular handshake.
I know you.
Hello,
how
sir.
How are you? Nice to meet you.
Good to see
how
you.
How the kids doing?
You
also,
man, they're
doing
you
know, well.
You also know how to use a subject-verb agreement and articulate yourself well.
Absolutely. Okay.
But you also know how to communicate with somebody who's in the lowest of the low so that you can show and share the love of Jesus Christ. Don't you appreciate so much what this man does? Well, I hope you've been inspired to get out and to make a difference in your world. You know, that's what we're all called to do. Be the solution that helps meet the needs of those around you. Now, you might be wondering how you can make a difference. Well, my announcer is going to tell you more about how you can get involved with our efforts to give back to the community and make a real difference.